Now, Ukraine's Prime Minister has said his country is determined to continue cooperating with Washington and that they're still ready to sign a deal which would give America access to the country's deposits of rare earth minerals. This was after Donald Trump suspended the delivery of military aid, widening the gap with Ukraine. A US defense official said that all military equipment not in Ukraine, including weapons currently in transit, won't be sent to the front lines. In Brussels, the EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen set out plans to boost EU defence spending. We can get more now from Rosie Burchard, who's Europe correspondent with the German broadcaster DW News. Rosie, thanks for talking to us. This speech from Ursula von der Leyen, it comes ahead of an EU summit on Thursday. What did she say?
She said, first of all, that we are living in the most momentous and dangerous of times. So I suppose teeing up some of the announcements she was about to make. And she also said that she thinks this is now really the era of rearmament. And so with that in mind, von der Leyen spelled out a few measures that the European Commission plans to take to try and make it easier for member states to boost their defence spending. So first of all, looking at easing fiscal rules, which means essentially allowing member states to go into more debt if it is for defence spending purposes. The EU in general has pretty strict fiscal rules on how much debt countries can have if they are part of the bloc, so looking to ease that. Then looking at leveraging about 150 billion euros worth of loans over the next 5 years. That is when the EU's executive, the European Commission, would use its financial heft essentially to borrow the money and then loan it on to member states. Then encouraging countries to repurpose some existing EU funds, for example, regional development, cohesion funding it's called. And then lastly, trying to drum up some private capital for defence investment through the European Investment Bank. And we did indeed see defence stocks soaring over the last few days as this announcement was anticipated on a big initiative to try and boost defence spending. Of course, within the context of Donald Trump's presidency, of everything that's going on in Ukraine, worth noting what this is not, and I think this is important given Irish neutrality and there are other EU member states which are militarily neutral, it's not any sort of a mandate or order from the European Commission that to order EU member states to spend more on defence. They don't have the power to do that. That's within national government's hands.
As you say, it's been great news for weapons manufacturers. I think the share price of many of those European manufacturers went up by 14 or 15% yesterday. How much agreement is there, Rosie, among the member states on all of this?
So, well, we'll definitely have a clearer idea of that when it comes to this summit on Thursday. That will be the moment to watch. But I think what I can say is that there is a clear agreement among the vast majority of EU members that the reality of geopolitics has shifted drastically over the last few months, particularly since Donald Trump came into office, and that there is no doubt in most capitals that there is a need to step up and show Washington that Europe is ready to be in the driving seat for its own security. On the one hand, to try and, I think, convince the US president to get a bit more back on the same page when it comes to Ukraine, but also to make sure that in future Europe isn't necessarily so subject to the whims of Washington. Because the fact is that currently, despite the fact there was anticipation of Donald Trump coming into office and him previewing some of the measures he intended to take, even under the Biden administration and the Obama administration, there was plenty of asks of Europe to spend more on its own defence, to increase their own budgets. There is still a stark reality that Europe is very much reliant on the US when it comes to its defensive needs.
Rosie Burchard in Brussels, thank you very much for talking to us this lunchtime. Well, meanwhile, Donald Trump will tonight make his first major speech to Congress since recapturing the US presidency. His State of the Union address is expected to cover, big breath needed here, the dismantling of federal government, the clampdown on immigration, the launching of trade wars, the upending of decades of foreign policy, and the suspension of military aid to Ukraine. Julia Manchester, who writes about US politics for The Hill, joins us now from Washington. Julia, a lot has changed very quickly, but is there much serious opposition in Washington to Donald Trump's approach to Russia and Ukraine?
Well, actually, I think you're starting to see that emerge really in the hours since President Trump and or the White House announced that the U.S. was halting its aid to Ukraine. I mean, you have a lot of Republicans, and as you alluded to, Republicans control the House and the Senate. So, you know, Donald Trump doesn't get as much opposition on that front. But a number of Republican lawmakers last night here in the U.S. were expressing concern over the move. Now, they, you know, say that President Zelensky of Ukraine should have approached that meeting differently. But there certainly is some concern as to freezing, you know, aid to Ukraine. On top of that, you have, you know, Democrats who are still very much in the opposition to how President Trump has handled this and are, you know, seeking to push back. So President Trump tonight, when he addresses Congress, is going to have an opportunity to explain his reasoning to not only Democrats, but also members of his own party who might be a bit skeptical.
One of the possibilities that has been raised is whether Ukraine's access to Starlink, the satellite system owned by Elon Musk, could be cut. Is that something that's being mentioned?
Somewhat. I think we could hear more about that today. You've heard it floated, but I think right now the immediate top story here in the U.S. is, you know, the aid to Ukraine and how, you know, whether this minerals deal that was supposed to be signed on Friday during the Oval Office meeting with Trump and Zelensky, whether that is back on the table.
The policy on Russia and Ukraine is very big news in this part of the world. Is it as prominent in America, or is there more focus on domestic concerns?
I think that it certainly is prominent in that it's a major story and Americans are aware of it. That being said, though, there is just simply so much, you know, at play domestically. You have, of course, these tariffs on Canada, Mexico and China going into effect today that could, you know, create rising prices here in the United States. We know that inflation and the rising prices of goods and services has been a major issue for Americans going back to the 2024 presidential election. It's something that actually Donald Trump campaigned on and hammered Vice President Kamala Harris and Democrats over during the campaign. So with the announcement of these tariffs, the stock market taking a dive, I think Americans economically are concerned. One big news story here, for example, is the high price of eggs, for example. So I think there is a lot of anxiety around that. On top of that, you have Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency, also known as DOGE, carrying out these sweeping cuts to the federal government. That's a big story here in the greater Washington, D.C. metro area where there's lots of federal workers. But, you know, there's also federal workers throughout the country. So you are seeing Americans impacted by these cuts. It could have economic consequences going forward. So there's a lot to take in both internationally and domestically.
What are you expecting tonight?
You know, I think you're going to hear President Trump, you know, talk about how he's moved at breakneck speed, how he's made, you know, his words, historic progress on these fronts. He's going to address all of these issues. You know, I am curious to hear how he addresses the economy. We have in 2 years or less than 2 years now, we have the midterm elections here in the United States, which will determine control of the House and the Senate. And there will also be a number of governor's races. You know, I am curious to see how he approaches that, because you're hearing a lot of Democrats start to hammer President Trump over the economy, something Democrats were initially attacked over during the last administration. But we're now seeing them get on the offensive on this. So I think you're going to see, I think a lot of Republicans are going to want to hear how they should message on that issue.
Julia Manchester in Washington, thank you very much for being with us this lunchtime.